Man, we thank you for your giving. We are very appreciative for those of you who have given and sown into the work of the ministry, the kingdom of God. The scripture says where your treasure is, your heart is. And so I don't make a big major emphasis on giving because I believe you will give to what you love. And so when people don't give, it doesn't bother me because they show me that they don't really love the way they say they love. If they really love this ministry, I wouldn't have to beg you to give. All I got to do is just open up the floor and givers will give. And I'm glad to say that many times here the givers have given. Not to say that we can't do more, but I can say I believe God is pleased with those who have done what they can. Amen. And we are expecting God to bless us. Because when a giver gets blessed, guess what a giver does? He gives some more. All right. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, God. We ask that you would pray over this preaching moment, that you would bless it, that you would encourage it, God. Also bless me as I leave and go on the road, God. Touch every aspect of everything that is going on. We give you praise for it and we love you. Now we thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted, and unchecked by any satanic and demonic forces. And the people's coming will not be in vain. And the people's tuning in will not be in vain. We will be blessed. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let the people say, amen. Amen. Come on with your Bibles in your hands. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Come on, put your hands together this morning. Amen. Grateful, grateful, grateful. So let's start with last week's sermon. Last week was, and they'll put it up just to remind us, last week was Make Him Known. And we were talking mainly about how we share about what God has done for us, the ways. And so let's give us just the recap that we came up with. The A, B, C, and D points was A, witness, B, acts, C, yes, D, seek, and came up with the acronym or the word ways. And then we begin to talk about the fact that Moses asked the Lord, show me your ways. And so it's quite important. If we're going to make him known, we need to know his ways. But that leads me to where I'm going to go because I didn't use this scripture last week because of time, but it was a scripture that came to my mind the moment I talked about ways. This came to my mind. I'm going to have Mother Mitchell read it, and it's Isaiah 55 and 8. It says what?
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
When you're trying to figure out the ways of God, one of the things you can't do is figure it out through your own thought process because your thoughts are lower than God's thoughts. And God's ways are higher than your ways. Your ways are lower than his. And so when you begin to approach it logically, it might mess with your head because God will take a back way to do a great thing. He asked for 2 fish and 5 loaves and was planning on feeding 5,000. That math don't really math, but when it's God, his ways are higher than our ways. And so that's a good place to just stop and preach. But every now and then when I pick a scripture just right there, I like to go backwards. Either I'm going to go forwards in the scripture or backwards in the scripture. This time I wanted to go a little bit backwards. So the 7th verse says what? So we're going from 8 to 7.
Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon.
He will abundantly pardon. And it says he'll have compassion. That's why we communicate Christ's love compassionately. But at the top of the verse, it says, let the wicked forsake his way. And so this shows us that in order to get tapped into his ways, you're going to have to forsake your ways that are wicked.
And sometimes our wicked ways are so comfortable to us that when God begins to try to pull them out of us, it's kind of rough. We don't always want to let go of the way that we've used, but sometimes the way that we use won't work in the new season that God has taken. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell for cussing folk out, but in the new season that God has taken you, cussing folk out ain't going to look good in the new season. So some of these ways you're going to have to let go of. Some of the stuff you do on Saturday night before you come to church on Sunday morning is not going to function well in the new season that God wants to take you. So you're going to have to let go of some of your ways to get his way. But the beautiful part about it, it says he will abundantly pardon. So you ain't got to get all wigged out and tripped out over all the junk you got in your trunk or the mess you got in your life. All you got to do is trust his process and he will wrestle away, if you allow him to, the ways that don't line up to his ways. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful journey. Sometimes it's a rough thing because sometimes the way he snatches stuff from us is not the way we want him to. Because sometimes he snatches relationships from us. People that we like and love, next thing you know, they walk out of our life and we're crying. But sometimes rejection is nothing but protection and direction. And this is not really part of the message. This is just chips and sausage. This is just the appetizer. Now, I want to go backwards one more verse. So we started in 8. And then we've seen what 7 said, which made context, 8's context made sense. Let's go back to 6.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
Now, this is beautiful because when I talked about the W-A-Y-S, the last point was seek. And then we went into ways. But this is where I'm really going to preach from. I want you to have them put it back up on the screen. This time I'm going to read it. This is a powerful thing. So we understand seek the Lord. We understand that. We're supposed to seek the Lord. And actually, that's what you're doing right now. When you give up time to come to church or to tune in, you are seeking the Lord. So that's beautiful. But there's something in here that's a little scary that I've got to preach from. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Then it says, call upon him while he is near, which suggests that he won't always be able to be found. And it suggests that he won't always be near. Now, because we understand the cross and the blood covenant, and because of the covenant of grace, we do understand that he will neither leave us nor forsake us. But there is wisdom in this Old Testament principle that there are some things that require an opportune time. So, having said that, here is the title for today, and it's simply this. Go ahead and put it up. It's time. It's time. Say it with me. It's time. So, when should I seek the Lord? It's time. When should I pray? It's time. When should I forgive? It's time. When should I give in the offering? It's time. When should I start coming back to church? It's time. When should I stop lying? It's time. It's time. Now, yes, we are under grace. And when you're under grace, it extends periods of time. I shared it before that in my mortgage, I have a grace period. So I have a potential where it's due right now. It was due yesterday. It was due June 1st, and I didn't pay it June 1st. And it's going to be okay because I'm not in trouble until I pay it past the 16th. That is a period of grace. But here's the thing. You can take grace for granted. You can take grace for granted. And there was something that I used years ago called same as cash payments. I love same as cash. I ain't got to give you nothing right now. I can take the furniture, but 6 months, same as cash. But baby, the 7th month, all that stuff is coming back. All those extra charges are going to come back. So you got to take care of things when it's time. So let's do this. 4 reminders of time. They're going to put it up for you. 4 reminders of time. I could give you a whole bunch of them, but these are just 4 reminders of time as it relates to your spirituality. Let's look at Hosea 10 and 12.
Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up unplowed ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you.
We love the last part. He showered his righteousness. He showered his blessing. But before we get to that, it says you got to seek the Lord. But before it says seek the Lord, it says you got to do some sowing and you got to do some breaking up some unplowed ground. Another version says break up the fallow ground. And in other words, those of you who are gardeners, you understand after you come out of the winter season and even the spring season and you begin to dig that garden is not always easy to dig up. It requires some effort. Because it gets weeds, it gets hardened. And even though it's time to seek the Lord, in order to seek him properly, sometimes some stuff got to be dug up. Here's a problem with a lot of saints is when they show back up to church, they want everything to be okay. But sometimes when they show up, it's digging time. Yeah. I came to church and the pastor was preaching all on my stuff. I don't know you and I don't know your stuff, but God know your stuff. Yeah. And God know you was going to be back on that time. And he does know you need to seek him. But in order to get you ready for you to seek him, he got to do some digging. And the digging is very uncomfortable. Yes. Sometimes you say amen. Sometimes you say ouch. Sometimes a sermon sticks with you and lays with you. And it's a burden on you. And guess what? All that's a part of seeking God. Oh, I got blessed. I got a new house. That's great. But that's not the only thing that happens in the kingdom of God. There is building. There is planting. But there's also plucking up. There's also tearing down. There's also breaking up some stuff. And so all of this is in the process. And if I'm one of those preachers that only tickles your ear, you better find another pastor. Because God's word is not always going to find you and make you feel like shouting and running through troops and jumping over walls. Sometimes God's word finds you, it'll make you want to cry. Sometimes God's word finds you and it makes you say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I repent. If it's always happy time, you listen to the wrong stuff. Amen. All right. Pastor, you turned the corner on me. I thought we was going to talk about blessing. I'm still talking about blessing. But before we get to blessing, there's some stuff that it's time to do right now. So let's start off with point number one. Somebody say point number one. Here's, and all the points are pretty much going to say the same thing in a different way. So the first point is sometimes now is the only time. Sometimes now is the only time. And so once again, I will rephrase what I said before. When is it time to come to church? Now. When is it time to forgive? Now. When is it time to start reading your word? Now. When is it time to start giving again? Now. Whatever it is, sometimes now is the only time. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us time as a gift. God does not operate in time. He is eternal. So time is not for him. Time is for you. Time is for us. Time is for we. Time is for the kinfolk. Time is for the brotherhood. Time is for us. And so when we have time, oftentimes it is given to us to do what we need to do, because a lot of times you don't get a second chance to do what you should have done the first time. Somebody said they talk about impressions. It's hard to make a first impression the second time around. So the first time I met you, you was mean and evil. And then you come to church and I'm the greeter at the door. It's a little too late to smile and say, welcome to Deliverance Temple. Because the first impression you gave me many times is the lasting impression. Now, yes, of course, people can have a bad day and things can change. But many of us have missed stuff because we miss the now season, the now moment. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. Let's read that.
For he says, In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
I want the blessings of God. I want the favor of God. I want God to shower down on me, but let me get right first because I don't want to play church. You don't have time to get right because now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of favor. And if you miss the favor, you can't get mad at the person sitting in the seat next to you because they're walking in something you're not walking in because you took your time with the opportunity. And Sister Baxter is here. If Fresh Time says that they got a sale for the first 35 steaks, if you pick up the 36th steak, you can't fuss at her because it's not on sale because there was a time limit. Yes. You got to get up and get early and get it while the getting is good. But many times we are so nonchalant and que sera about life. Well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Where you find that in the scripture? Most of the things, there is a correlation between you and God. And the scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And faith without works is dead. And many times people are waiting on God and God is waiting on them. Yes. I got the favor. I got the blessings. But you won't show up to where the favor is and where the blessing is. All right, let me make it real clear. I done got dirty and I done got musty. And all I need to do is take me a good shower. So I put the soap in the shower. I put the rag in the shower. I turn the water on and I stand outside the shower and I wonder why I'm still musty. I'm going to stay musty until I get under the water. You got to get under the rain in order to get wet. And many people want God to just throw his favor where they are, but God says, come to where I am so I can shower down my blessings upon you. It's quite simple, but it's profound. Let's look at Romans 13, 9 through 11.
The commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be, are summed up in the one command, love your neighbor as yourself.
I'll take a quick side note. Many people are talking about how we need to put the Ten Commandments back in the courtrooms, back in the schools. And when they say that, they really don't understand the scripture. Because under grace, the Bible says there's really only one command you need to get. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill all the commandments because you won't cheat on your wife if you love her the way you want to be loved. Yeah. You won't steal from Donald if you love him the way you want to be loved. And so he said, I can sum up all the commandments in one thing. It's the law of love. So let's read some more.
Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
This is the main thing Jesus was trying to teach when he came. They were like, you don't do what the law says. And he's like, I am going to fulfill the law because I'm going to give the greatest love sacrifice. I'm going to give myself. I'm going to die for the unworthy, the greatest love. So he's like, if you would just fall into my love, you're actually going to fulfill the commandments. Well, Pastor Andre, you don't preach on sin enough. Well, we are a church of L-O-V-E, living our vision every day. If we start loving right, we ain't got to worry about a whole bunch of sin. Amen. If you sinning, you ain't really loving right. Because in order to sin, many times you got to step out of the love of God. You got to step out of the love of others and you got to be real selfish. So all we got to do is stay in love. Let's read some more.
And do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed.
It's actually nearer now. So this is what Jesus was saying. He said, listen, I'm going to simplify it for you. You ain't got to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Start walking in love. Start focusing on love, because this thing is getting a lot closer than what you think it is. Now, this was 2,000 years ago. If it was close then, what do you think it is now? It's closer now. So if we would focus on the love relationship with God and loving humanity the way we're supposed to, we will start figuring things out and lining things up, and we will start moving the way we need to do and need to be, because this is a now season and it's a now moment. All right, let's go to point number two, saying the same thing in a different way. Sometimes later is not an option. I'm going to do it later. My father, my late father, who was so sweet and so kind, but he was a little crazy too. And one particular time, we were going to Memphis, Tennessee, and Bishop Mitchell told little Andre, "I want your room clean by the time I get back home." He said he wanted it clean by the time he got back home, and he walked out the door. He said it, but in my mind, I heard, "I'm going to do it later." Well, he came back quicker than I thought he was going to come. And I heard the keys jingling at the door, and I hadn't done a thing, Sister Trish. I started trying to throw stuff under the bed, and I was hoping he would be preoccupied, but he made a beeline straight to my room. And preaching Pastor Royce went OFF on little O-M-E. And what I do remember, and it was funny later on, I talked about it, he didn't remember. I remember my feet dangling in the air because he grabbed me and put me on the wall and said, "When I tell you," and y'all can figure out the rest. But basically, I realized when he said something, he meant N-O-W. He didn't mean L-A-T-E-R. Well, if my earthly father is like that, why do we think our heavenly father is so lean? "I'll do it later. I'll read later. I'll pray later. Oh, I'll come to church next month after sabbatical." Listen, you may not make it to next month. Stop playing with this thing. This is a now season, and sometimes later is not even on the menu. If you want people to say your pastor's crazy, have them travel with me, and I'm going to go to Wendy's, and I'm going to point them at the menu and say, "I want steak and lobster." And everybody going to say he crazy because it's not on the menu. Well, sometimes later is not on the menu, and you look crazy trying to do something later that God wants you to do right now. "Well, I forgive my daddy later." You may not get that chance. All right, let's look at a scripture that will bring it home for us. Ephesians 5:15.
"Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise."
Since later is not an option, be very careful how you live. Well, I'm under grace. Yeah, I understand that. But this is a scripture after the cross. And the scripture says, be careful how you live. In other words, you can't do anything you want to do. Well, God loves me. I know God loves you. I love you too. But from me to you, you can't do what you want to do and think it's always going to be okay, because sometimes God's going to call your number and you're not going to be ready. All right. So what does the next verse we have up there say? I got it in two verses. This verse says what?
"Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil."
Now, here's the thing. Don't make the most of every opportunity because God will get mad at you. No, because God's a loving God. He said, the problem is not me. The problem is the days are evil. And if you play around with the evil day, you get trapped up in an evil game. Somebody said, sometimes the problem is stupid people play stupid games and get stupid results. Well, let me flip it. Evil people play evil games and get evil results. Well, let me add this. Sometimes you're not an evil person, but you step into an evil moment and you'll get an evil result. There's somebody sitting in a jail cell that was in the wrong place at the wrong time, got in the wrong car at the wrong time, decided to hook up with the wrong person at the wrong time, decided to be the girlfriend of the wrong person at the wrong time. And mama said, "You better let him go. I'll do it later." But when the police raided the house and you didn't know the man you love had hid dope in your house, and now you got a case and you ain't never done nothing wrong, but you thought you could play with timing, but sometimes later is not an option. Let me make it just a little smaller so I don't scare y'all too much. I remember one particular time I was driving, coming down McGalliard, getting ready to make a right turn on Walnut to do something, and I had come off of Wheeling, hit McGalliard, going to Walnut. It wasn't going to be very long what I was doing, and something inside, I know it was the Holy Spirit now, told me to put my seatbelt on. I'll do it later, because I'm just going to go right here, and then when I come back, I'll put it. Guess what? When I hit that Walnut corner, they had a seatbelt check, and I got a ticket. Now, I can't blame God, because something told me. Now, God didn't boom and break the clouds. It was just something down on the inside told me, and I just simply ignored it. But sometimes later, it's not an option. Amen. Well, here's the thing, y'all. That only cost me $25. I can pay $25, but some stuff will cost you way more than you can pay. So let's put it in another version. This version is the ESV. I'll read it. Go ahead and bring it up in the ESV. It says this: making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Guess what, saints? I got Hulu. I got Netflix. I got YouTube. I got Disney Plus, ESPN Plus. I got all of that, but I can't watch all of it all the time. Because the days are too evil for me only to be entertained. There's nothing wrong with entertainment, nothing at all. I'm not trying to make you some super deep Christian. Nothing wrong with entertainment, but the days are evil. Yes. And since the days are evil, you can't waste time. And so this is what I found out. If the show don't catch me in the first 5-6 minutes, I turn it off. I don't have time to waste my time for a 2-hour movie, and the wigs is backwards on the movie, and the caption don't line up. I ain't got time wasting my time. I'm too busy to be throwing my time away. Yes. Here's another thing. I don't like folk who waste my time either. I love y'all Deliverance Temple, but if you call me, please have something to talk about. I don't want to talk about the trees and the birds and the bees. I'm too busy for my time to be wasted. I want to make the best use of my time. Some of you women, you understand, you multitask. So you're doing several things at once. You watching Netflix and baking biscuits at the same time. Now some of the old folk, they can make business, they can comb hair, iron clothes, sew a button and do it all at the same time. Because they're making the most of the time. Because you have to understand the day is evil and I don't know how much time I'm going to get. From 2019 to 2023, I was a part of 40 funerals. Out of the 40, I preached about 30 of them myself. If death taught me anything, is we don't have as much time as we think we do. Stop playing with this thing. This thing is real. It's not a game. We had when I was at Concrete Rose, we had some people come to the young folk and talk to them, and the person got up and dismissed themselves and said, I would talk more, but I don't want to waste your time and you waste my time, because clearly y'all not listening to us. And so they dismissed themselves. And so those of us who were on the board, we talked to them later and we was like, look, that's disappointing for us to bring somebody to talk to y'all and they feel like there's no connection. But you know, listen, kids are kids. I understand it. So when I spoke, this is what I said. I said, I'm tired of burying young folk. So just please listen. Within a month, I was burying another one. Because sometimes when you're young, you think you got a bunch of time. Sometimes later is not an option. Number three. Point number three. You can't suppose you will get more time. All these points are saying the same thing in a different way. You can't suppose you will get more time. Let me say it again. You can't suppose you will get more time. Let's look at the definition of suppose. I know y'all was looking for a happy message. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. But I'm just a messenger. I preach what God tells me to preach. Suppose, it means this, assume that something is the case on the basis of evidence or probability, but without proof or certain knowledge. In other words, because it's always been this way, it will always be this way. Let me take it to something just a little lighter and get out of the mindset of death, since that's so heavy. Let me just take it a little lighter. Young man, young husband, young boyfriend, you assume because it's been 5 years and you've never gotten her a Valentine's gift, and you always forget her birthday, and you can't remember the anniversary, because she still stays with you, you assume and you suppose that you can do no wrong. But then you won't be in my office crying when she decides to pack her bags and walk on, because you took for granted what you had when you had it. And people, especially relations, they take stuff and they take people for granted, but they don't know. If you think she looked good, somebody else thinks she looked good. And in the day of social media, anybody can jump in anybody's inbox. You better love the one you with, take care of the one you with, and stop taking folk for granted and supposing everything's okay. Well, my baby, she don't mind not having her nails done. She don't mind not having her hair done. She don't mind not having a new outfit. She don't mind not going on vacation. Are you supposing that? Or is that something you know? Because the next man who doing all that for her, he going to find out for real. Same thing with you women. You suppose that a man that done worked all day and paid all the bills, you suppose he want to hear your nagging. He been beat up on the job, beat up in the field, and he come home and he want a piece of quiet, and because he keep turning his check over to you, you suppose everything okay. But when the funeral come, you find out he had two other special women that show up in the obituary, because you suppose everything's okay. Stop taking stuff for granted. Stop taking time for granted. Make the most of every opportunity. Stop taking this church for granted. Amen. Just because I don't act like we're the best thing in the world, don't mean we are not something special and something mighty in the earth. Yes. Amen. I was just telling Devin just a couple days ago, this man on Facebook had messaged me, African man, and he's been messaging me since 2021. I don't know him from beans to apple butter. Somehow he'd been messing with me. He would just say, God bless you, I'm praying for you. So I would just respond politely. But this last time he said, tell Devin and the kids I said hello. I'm like, now, who is you? That reminds me, let me just take a quick story. I remember being on... being at General Motors in Muncie and coming to a place, and because it was back in the old day, not all of them were grammatically correct in their talking. So I go in the door, and this black man got up and said, who is you? Not who are you, who is you? So that's what I'm thinking, this African man, who is you? But then he said something that got my attention. And then I just asked the question. I said, are you familiar with Faith 101? He's like, yes, I carried it in my briefcase and have it in my briefcase for the last 6 years. So I remember years ago, someone told me that they wanted some of my books in Kenya. And so I paid the price to send them in Kenya. I never knew that I wrote the book in 2005. 2024, he started messing me in 2021. 2024, I'm having a conversation and realize that he knows me because he's been holding my book for the last, 16 years. Glory. So it's reached all the way to Kenya, Africa. Africa and has made an impact. And all this time he's been saying he's praying for me is because I made an impact and didn't even know I made an impact. For God, I made an impact. And the point that I'm making is sometimes because we sit on this corner in Muncie, Indiana, you feel like we don't make an impact, but we mean something in the kingdom of God. And if the devil knows we mean something and fights us like hell and tooth and nail, the least you can do is log in and come to church.
Hallelujah.
The least you can do is put something in the bucket. Well, I don't got nothing. We'll stop posting you at the casino. If you got enough money for the casino, you got enough money for offering. But it'll always be there because it's always been there. But here's the thing. Just because it's available don't mean you can make it to it.
That's right.
Because you might lose the activity of your limbs. You might be walking good one day, laying in the bed hurting the next day. You can't take life for granted. All right. James 4, 13 and 15 says what?
Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.
All right, next verse.
Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes.
All right, look at what it says next.
Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.
You thought when old folks would say, Lord willing, you thought they were just being deep. But the scripture says, you basically, let me paraphrase it. Stop counting your chickens before they hatch. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning. We're not talking about that you can't have a plan. But your plan needs to be predicated on the will of God. And if you make plans that keep you away from his house, maybe you should adjust your plans.
Yeah.
Let me back up because that's getting too harsh and too deep. Let me talk about a married couple. And so a married couple, they get married. And then on the honeymoon, the husband says, I'm planning to be gone for the next 3 years. I hope you're going to be okay with that. You hoping and wishing for some foolishness. Because I didn't marry you for you to go away from me. And some of us, we get a hold of God and want God to bless plans that don't include him. We want God to bless stuff that he's not even thought of. Well, God, I want you to help me to open up this business in Atlanta, but I thought your church home was here. Well, yeah, I'll tune in. But no, you don't tune in when you're in Muncie. What makes you think you're going to tune in when you get to Atlanta? I'm not saying you won't, and I'm not saying you can't, but stop making plans that don't include the master planner.
Yeah.
Every time I have trouble with my Cadillac, Sister Rutha, I don't get a Ford book. Because
right.
The Ford book wasn't made for the Cadillac.
Uh-huh.
It was made for the Ford. Yes, there's some things that are going to be similar. But the manufacturer made it for a specific thing.
Yeah.
And we keep trying to get around the stuff, supposing stuff. You better get yourself together the best way you know how. All right, let me back up a little bit because I don't want to whoop y'all too long. Let me talk about some other stuff. Some things are not that deep in spiritual. Some stuff are just regular. Some of y'all, regular unleaded, huh? Some of y'all have never seen beyond Muncie and Indianapolis, and the fault is your own. It's too much information out here. It's too much stuff like Expedia, TripAdvisor, for you to live and die, and all you've seen is Muncie. Get up and go somewhere. Well, no, go get in a hotel, go somewhere, go eat a continental breakfast and do something. Go look at somebody's ocean, somebody's river. Stop wasting time, make the most of it. Many times what happens is when you experience things, it only leaves a desire for greater experiences. And God has greater for you, but some of y'all are so fearful and so scared, you won't do anything, and then you think God is not blessing you. It's not that God's not blessing you. You won't take the first step. So I think, well, when my grandkids come along, then we'll go to Disney World. No, maybe you need to go right now. Some things you just have to see. And many times the people of God are just playing with time, and you could be doing all kinds of things. You could be enjoying all kinds of things. So don't waste time. Say that with me. Say, I will not
waste
my time. All right, let's look at Psalms 90 and 12.
Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
I'm going to say this as a prayer to God for all of us. Father God, for Deliverance Temple, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, God, help us to know what we need to do, when we need to do it. Help us make the most of it, and let us do it in a mindset that's filled with wisdom. I say this all the time. There were people that woke up September 11th, 2001, and something rang in their spirit. Don't go to work. And something told them, well, I don't have any PTO days. I need to go to work. And something told them, don't go to work. But they understood the urgency of the time and sat back down, turned on the TV, and with an hour, they realized why they weren't supposed to go to work. I'm not trying to scare you, but this is not the time to play with the time. You got to know what God wants you to do and where God wants you to be. But not only does it work in the time of negativity, it also works in the time of blessing. You could be at the right space at the right time and get a major blessing. I won't tell the testimony again. But when I stepped into Brooks Brothers and found a $0 suit that had $1,200 as the price tag, I was at the right place at the right time and heard the right word to do what I needed to do. The car that I'm driving, I told you I got $12,500 off the top because I jumped at the right time, heard the right word. Now I'm driving it and didn't even know if I could afford it. I had no idea I could afford it, but I took a chance at the right time. I believe God wants to bless you, but you got to find his time. You got to step in the flow of his cadence and the flow of his step. If you in the army, it's 1, 2. You got to step. You can't step outside of time. When they say about face, you better about face. When it's time to salute, you better salute, because you understand the authority that you're under. And once you catch and understand the authority and you step in the cadence of the army, guess what happens? Miracles can happen. Do you know miracles are predicated often on time? I'm going to move on because this is not in my notes, but I'm going to just throw this out there real quick. Martha at first was upset with Jesus, because she said, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He got the news 4 days earlier, but he stayed where he was because there was a miracle in the works. And had he moved too quick, he would have interrupted the miracle. Here's the thing. When he showed up, when he did, the crowd actually showed up. If Jesus came when Martha wanted him to, Lazarus would not have died. His sickness would have went away, but nobody would have saw him raised from the dead. So he stayed where he did so the situation would get worse. That way when he showed up, everybody would know he had miracle working power. Yeah. So yes, God wants to bless you, but it just ain't time. Well, God, it's getting worse and worse, but he's letting it get worse and worse. That way when he steps in and turns it around, folk won't think the government did it. Folk won't think your bishop did it. Folk won't think your degree did it. They'll look at you and say, this had to be the hand of the Lord. It's about timing. Say this with me. Timing is everything.
Is everything.
Point number four. Last point, saying the same thing in a different way. God controls second chances, not you. Well, Pastor, you said he's a God of a second chance. Yes, he is. But he controls the second chance. You don't. We're going to read a story and we'll close from this story. And hopefully I have imparted to you what you need to know. And as you close the story, it'll just bring it on home. Remember, we're talking about his ways, and part of his ways is his timing. All right, Numbers 14, 37 through 39. Would you read, Mother Mitchell?
The men who brought up a bad report of the land died by plague before the Lord.
So there were 12 spies sent out. Two of them came with a bad report of the land that God said they was going to go in. And, 10 of them came with a bad report. Two of them came back with a good report. The 10 end up dying with a plague. Read the next verse.
Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive.
They looked at the land. They saw giants. They saw the trouble, but they also saw the promises of God. And they said, we can do this. The other 10 said, no, we can't. They realized this was the time. All right, next verse.
When Moses told these words to all the people of Israel, the people mourned greatly.
They got sad because the 10 that they believed all died. And the people was like, oh, Lord, we messed up. We're sorry. Lord, make me up. That's cute. But sometimes you done missed an opportunity.
Yes.
I surrender. Oh, thank God. We're glad you surrendered all moving forward. But sometimes you missed an opportunity. And I'm not trying to make fun of the altar experience. I'm just sharing how sometimes we do. We get emotional, but sometimes your emotions can't fix the situation. There's some man crying to God right now, and I need to tell you, the baby's still going to come. God ain't automatically make the baby disappear and get you out of trouble. You were warned, the baby going to come, and you're going to have to deal with it. God going to still love you, but your wife going to find out that the baby on the way, and you just going to have to deal with it, because when you play stupid games, you get stupid results.
Yes.
That ain't for y'all. That's somebody out there in TV land. Come on. Numbers 14 and 40 says what?
And they rose early in the morning and went up to the heights of the hill country, saying, here we are. We will go up to the place that the Lord has promised, for we have sinned.
Oh, we're going to go to the promised land. We should have listened to Joseph and Caleb. We getting ready to go because we sinned. We made a mistake. God, we're sorry. But going where you told us to go. Let's look at what the next verse said.
But Moses said, why now are you transgressing the command of the Lord when that will not succeed?
Here's the point. Your now wasn't his now. So now your now is not going to work. I know you repented. I know you said you're sorry. I know you came to the altar. I know they poured oil on your head. But your now is not going to work. Because your now was supposed to be his now. Let's read the next verse.
Do not go up, for the Lord is not among you, lest you be struck down before your enemies.
So Moses said, don't waste your time. I'm glad you're sorry. I'm glad you repented. But you're gonna have to sit this one out. You just messed up. But look what they said. Or we'll continue to read. Moses is still speaking.
For there the Amalekites and the Canaanites are facing you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you have turned back from following the Lord will not be with you.
So God, Moses is saying, listen, the people are ready to get you. Should have went when you had the time, and God's not going to be with you. It's not going to work. It's not anointed. Just chill this one out. You know what some people do when you tell them all that? They still do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Pastor, what do you think about this relationship? I tell them what I think, and they keep doing what they want to do. Guess what? I told you I don't like to waste my time, so I'm not talking about it anymore.
That's right.
You keep doing what you want to do, and I'll be there to pick up the pieces when it don't work, because what I'm figuring out, God ain't going with you, sweetheart, because he's already tried to point you in the other direction. But Pastor, I'm lonely. You don't understand. You got a woman. I understand you lonely. But God said no. I can't tell you yes if he say no.
Amen.
And I'd be a fool if I tell you yes when he say no. So ain't no need in both of us getting in trouble. Do what you want to do, boo-boo. But guess what? I can't support it.
Amen.
All right, next verse.
But they presumed to go up.
Hold on, they did what?
Presumed.
Say that word again.
Presumed.
Okay, go ahead.
To go up to the heights of the hill country. Although neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed out of the camp.
The leader didn't go and the anointing didn't go, but they went. Look at this. I'm going to put this word up here. We already did the word suppose. Let's look at what the word presume means. The word presume is this. Suppose that something is the case on the basis of probability. Well, it'll probably work. I read the statistics. It'll probably work. Listen, you ain't got time to get into problems. We need to get into thus save the Lord. Because probably will have your stuff getting repossessed. Probably can get you in a bunch of trouble. Sometimes you can't deal in probabilities and deal in chance. You have to deal if the anointing is not here. I can't step into this. Can't do this anymore. I was talking to someone just a few days ago, and we were referencing a place where I went to preach, and they were letting me know that the place is, the presence of God is no longer in this place. And as they were talking, I finally spoke up. I said, I knew it when I was there. I've never been in a place, and I was in a church, I've never been in a place that was so demonic in my life. I got up to preach and it was so cold. But the people were saying, yes, Lord, amen. And I'm trying to deliver and I'm knowing that this ain't it. Not that I wouldn't anoint it, but I can tell the atmosphere was off. And then I was at the altar to pray and people were coming up. I would get closer and they were falling out under the power of God. It was about 2% power of God. 98% emotions. And I realized this ain't it. And I'm like, God, why did you tell me to say yes? Because I was a pastor at the time. I left this church to go preach over there, had somebody else preach. And God said, I want to show you what works in ministries who have stepped outside of me. And at some point, they no longer know they're outside of me. And they keep going through the motions, but there's no power. Me and this other person I'm talking to, the only people that realized something was off. The Bible says of Samson, he got up, shook himself, and had no idea that the presence of God had left him. He was ready to do what he always done. Here's the scary thing. When the anointing of God is gone, but you didn't know when it left. I'd much rather be like Jesus. When the woman touched him, he said, power has gone out of me. You ought to know when your power is being drained. You ought to know when your anointing is suffering. You ought to know when a demon is getting a foothold in your life. You can't play with this season.
Amen.
I'm preaching to myself as well. Let's look at this final verse. And then we'll do our communion.
Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and defeated them and pursued them even to Hormah.
Basically, they lost. On last week, one of our last verses said, everything will be fine for you. Now I'm at it. That is true only if you're in the timing of God. Because if you're not in the timing of God, some people are going to suffer great defeat. Not because of the challenge of the enemy, because sometimes we suffer defeat because God allows us to be challenged, and like Job, he takes us to another level. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who suffer defeat because they step outside of the timing of God, even after hearing a warning like this. So saints, don't miss the warning. Here's the conclusion. To wrap it all up for us, here's the conclusion. Put it up. It's time to get on God's time. I don't really preach too many harsh messages because God don't give them to me. But God gave me this for a reason. Actually, it started off as something else and it morphed into this. So let me say it again. It's time to get on God's time.
Yes.
But let me leave you with a blessing. When you step in the right time, many of you are going to see elevations and miracles like you've never seen before because you stepped in the right time. But it's very possible you'll be right next door to somebody who won't walk in what you're walking in because you saw the time that they did not see. Come on, let's rise to our feet and let's go into our communion. This is a time of communion. A sacred moment and a sacred time. This is part of us getting on God's time, all right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 24. I'm going to read all of these today. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Come on, let's take and let's eat. We've set aside the first Sunday as the time of communion. So this is a sacred, powerful time. All right, let's go to the next verse. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink. I'm asked that our prayer warriors will come. Because I'm going out of time, I will not stay and pray. But we're going to do this final prayer. And if you need any other prayer, come and let the prayer warriors pray over you. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. God, as you talk to us about your time, God, I pray that this is a season that Deliverance Temple will go up. And as we grab hold of the timing that is so important and precious, we will move in a new level of power, favor, anointing and blessing, and no demonic spirit can pull us out of the timing of the Lord. So God, save those who need to be saved. Reclaim the backslidden, God. Rebuke the devourer for the sake of your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen and amen. God bless you. We love you.